Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast, Terrorism, Punitive Damages, and the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act Edition. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On May 18, 2020, the Supreme Court held by a vote of 8-0 that plaintiffs in a suit against a foreign state for personal injury or death caused by acts of terrorism may seek punitive damages for pre-enactment conduct. Following the 1998 al-Qaeda bombing of American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, victims and their families brought suit against the Republic of Sudan, alleging that it had assisted al-Qaeda in carrying out the attacks. In doing so, plaintiffs invoked a terrorism exception to the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, but there was uncertainty as to whether, even in the absence of an immunity bar, Congress had provided a federal cause of action for claimants such as plaintiffs. In 2008, however, Congress amended the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act to provide an express cause of action and directed that claims such as the plaintiffs be treated as if they had been originally filed under the new cause of action. Congress also made punitive damages available under the new cause of action and authorized the filing of new claims that arose out of the same incident as earlier claims. The plaintiffs amended their complaint accordingly and, following a bench trial, obtained a multi-billion dollar damages award, including more than $4 billion in punitive damages. Sudan challenged the punitive damages award on appeal, arguing that Congress had not expressly authorized punitive damages based on conduct that predated its 2008 legislation. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit agreed, but the Supreme Court subsequently granted cert to consider whether, consistent with this decision in Republic of Austria v. Altman, a 2004 case, that the Foreign Service Immunities Act applies retroactively, thereby permitting recovery of punitive damages against foreign states for terrorist activities occurring prior to the passage of the current version of the statute. By a vote of 8-0, the case was vacated and remanded. In an opinion given by Justice Gorsuch on May 18, 2020, Justice Kavanaugh took no part in the consideration or decision in this case. And now, to discuss the case, we have Roger Alford, Professor of Law at the University of Notre Dame.
In the decision, the court outlined the facts and the procedural history, and then began discussing the history of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. Prior to 1976, it was a matter of political discretion, and the State Department, on a case-by-case basis, would render decisions. But in 1976, the statute was passed with the goal of trying to provide specific statutory guidance on when immunity would obtain. And the specific one in question was the terrorism exception of 1996. The court outlined the original version of the terrorism exception, the so-called Flatow Amendment, which allowed certain plaintiffs to bring suits against countries who have committed or supported specific acts of terrorism, but noting that that original amendment did not allow for punitive damages. Numerous cases were filed under that original terrorism exception, including in the Opati case. But subsequent to that, there was a D.C. Circuit opinion in Sicipio making the determination that the terrorism exception of the FSIA was a waiver of immunity and did not create a federal cause of action. So subsequent to the Sicipio decision, Congress then passed another statute, another amendment to the terrorism exception to address that ambiguity. And specifically, the 2008 amendments did four things. According to the court, the new 2008 amendment to the terrorism exception moved the terrorism exception from its original location in the FSIA at 1605A7 to a new section having the effect of basically freeing the claims from under the terrorism exception from the typical bar on punitive damages. Second, the exception created an express federal cause of action for acts of terrorism. Third, Congress included a provision for prior actions allowing existing lawsuits that had been adversely affected by the prior laws, failing to create a cause of action. So essentially, through statute, reversing the decision in Sicipio. And then fourth, included a provision for related actions, allowing for a time-limited opportunity of 10 years to file new actions arising out of the same acts or incidents of the previous actions. So according to the court, that was the four things that the 2008 amendments addressed. It then outlined the determination of the district court rendering a $10 billion compensatory damage case, as well as a punitive damage of $4.3 billion, and then addressed the question of retroactivity. The court began its discussion of retroactivity, noting that it is deeply rooted in our jurisprudence. The court said it protects vital due process interests as well as serves vital equal protection interests. It did not expressly say that it was grounded in constitutional concerns, but by using references to due process and to equal protection, that certainly seemed to be the implication. It also addressed the fact that the Constitution has numerous provisions related to retroactivity. So it seemed to be the indication that the court was saying that retroactivity concerns and the presumption of prospectivity had constitutional underpinnings. The court then noted that Sudan did not raise constitutional concerns, and so the only issue at bar is one of statutory interpretation. With respect to that, the court said that we don't have to resolve the relationship between the Altman decision, which addressed retroactivity in the context of the FSIA, from the Landgraf decision, which provides the guidance for whether or not federal causes of action have retroactive effect, because the court said that we don't have to resolve that issue because under either scenario, the presumption of prospectivity was clearly applicable. The court said that Congress was, quote, as clear as it could have been when it authorized plaintiffs to seek and win punitive damages for past conduct. It was clear in two ways. It expressly authorized punitive damages under a new cause of action, and it explicitly made the new cause of action available to remedy certain past acts of terrorism. So the court said that Congress had clearly spoken, and so we don't need to decide the relationship between Altman and the Landgraf decision. It then addressed various arguments that Sudan had raised and quickly dismissed those. It rejected the argument of Sudan that the language of retroactivity, it wasn't sufficient to simply include it in the section, that it should have been included in the specific subsection with respect to punitive damages. It rejected that. It also rejected the suggestion that by including the word may, that did not create a clear indication of retroactivity. The court simply saying that may creates the discretion in the court to issue punitive damages, but not the requirement. And then third, it rejected the suggestion of Sudan that we should create a new rule requiring Congress to provide super clear guidance, a super clear statement, if it is an issue of constitutional concern. The court said, if your concerns were constitutional, you should have raised a constitutional issue, and we're going to decline to issue a new rule that requires tiers of clearness when it has constitutional implications. So the court rejected all three of the different arguments by Sudan and issued its decision in Opati, overwhelmingly in favor of the plaintiffs.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. SCOTUS Cast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUS Cast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.